Are you ready for a little bit of irony? My opening slide today for our conversation is communication failures. I did not know how appropriate it would be. Why do people communicate? And I would love, if you're able to unmute or chat, why do people communicate? I'd love to hear some ideas.
Information.
We don't have any other way to. People can't read minds.
Yeah, can't read minds, right?
Convey thoughts and feelings.
Convey thoughts and feelings. That's good.
The bonds.
What was that?
Bond.
Bond. Yes. Bond. That's very significant. Good. Good.
To coordinate and work together.
Coordinate, work together. Good. Good. So, how do people communicate? What do people do? We join by Zoom.
By sending messages.
By sending messages. I love it. Yes. What else do we do?
By sending messages.
I love it. Yes, sending messages. Good. What else?
Keep that news there.
Yep. Sometimes we communicate. Yeah? Go ahead. Someone else? Sometimes we communicate by
expressions.
Facial expressions. Excellent. Facial expressions. Yeah. One of the tricks with young people this day is to figure out what's the latest technology that is being used. That email was for another generation for many people, and Facebook was another generation, and so we have to keep up. So why does the message sometimes not have the desired effect? What would you say? Why doesn't it always work?
Oh, man. It's pretty tricky.
Yeah, it is.
We hear what we want to hear, not what's being said.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, hear what we want to hear.
I think sometimes it's hard to communicate through text message. So if you're sending a short message with a lot of meaning, sometimes it's hard to communicate everything you're trying to say with very few words.
Yes. So significant. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if I ended up in a spam filter. You know, maybe the message never even got there. Yeah. Some of the things...
I took a course on cross-cultural communication once, and they emphasized that there are actually four steps in communicating, any of which can go wrong. So there's what you're actually thinking and feeling, the words you say, the words the other person hears, and then how they interpret them. So any one of those things, there could be a disconnection.
So significant. No wonder it's hard. Yeah. Yeah, you know, some of the things I was thinking is sometimes the message wasn't clear. Maybe I wasn't even clear what the message was. Sometimes people don't even hear what it is that was said. Sometimes what I want to happen can't happen. Or sometimes the recipients just say, no, I don't think that's what I'm going to do. What I want to think about today is especially this idea of God speaking. And the question is God's message to us having its desired effect in us. And so I want to pray and ask that God's message to us today would have its desired effect. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to hear from you. There are lots of reasons why it can be hard to hear. Sometimes it feels like a connection like this where we don't know why it's not working. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we wonder if you're speaking. Yet today we come in faith to say we want to hear from you in a rich and powerful way. We ask that by the power of your Spirit, you would speak, that you would be present, and that we would have hearts to hear. So we ask that what you want to have happen today in us as individuals and together as a church, that you would make it happen. So we are listening as your children, and we want to hear in a deep and rich way your communication today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title today, when the adults weren't listening, we're actually stepping into 1 Samuel, just chapter 3. We're doing it today, and thought about this as I was thinking about the kids and a time when it took a child to step in when the adults weren't doing what was required. We'll talk about the drawing in a little bit. I will have the text on the screen, but certainly encourage you to have 1 Samuel 3 open in front of you. I'm going to share a couple of things, and then we've got several kids who are ready to read in our hope that they have the connection. The setting for 1 Samuel 3, the people of Israel had entered the promised land, and that was wonderful. But soon after they entered this land that was their own, they had 12 what are called judges. They're kind of heroes or leaders, sometimes military generals. But they led the people in a downward spiral. Some 300 years, something like that, it just got worse and worse. People were just doing whatever they thought was a good thing to do. And we got to the point where Eli was the head priest. He was the head priest over the tabernacle in God's presence. And the very sad thing is that Eli had sons who had become corrupt. And even in their practice as priests, they were doing things that were so awful. And a prophet came to Eli and declared God's judgment against his whole household. A famous statement from this prophet were these words from 1 Samuel 2. Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me or ignore me will be disdained. They'll be rejected. And so this is God's statement to Eli in your house. You have despised me. You have ignored me. Treated me like I don't matter. And so now you will be rejected. So then we have introduced for us in the beginning of this book, Samuel as a miracle son. And a wonderful story about that. The key thing is, from his youth, he lived in service in the temple under Eli. So from a young age, we don't know exactly what age, but he lived there and he served in the temple. So we've got several kids who will be reading. They're going to read from a combination of the New International Version and the New International Reader's Version. So we'll look to you all to go ahead and read for us.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down.
Again, the Lord called out, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli. He said, "Here I am. Who called out to me?" "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." Samuel didn't know the Lord yet. That's because the Lord still hadn't given him a message.
The Lord called out a third time. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli. He said, "Here I am. He called out to me." Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If someone calls out to you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, I'm listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there. He said, "He called out just as you did the other three times.
the other times. He said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel replied, speak, I am listening.
The Lord said to Samuel, pay attention. I'm about to do something terrible to Israel. It will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will do everything to Eli and his family that I said I would. I will finish what I started. I told Eli I would punish his family for it. He knew his sons were sinning. He knew they were saying bad things about him. In spite of that, he did not stop them. But made a promise to the family of Eli. The sins of Eli's family would never be paid for by bringing sacrifices or offerings. Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the Lord's house. He was afraid to tell Eli about the dream he had received. But Eli called out to him. He said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am.
What was it he said to you, Eli asked? Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And Eli said, he is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. In all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel.
Amen. Thank you so much. So thankful for the word of God as the kids have read for us. Let me just share a couple of things about this passage, a few observations. I love the fact that this passage goes from the start, the word of the Lord was rare, to ending with all Israel recognized that Samuel was attested, was confirmed by God as a prophet of the Lord. At the beginning of the passage, God hardly ever spoke. People didn't hear from him. And at the end, we have the whole country from north to south recognizing that God was speaking to the people through Samuel. I'm fascinated that sometimes God's communication seems very earthly. It can seem like a human voice, right? That Samuel's in bed and he hears a voice and he thinks, that sounds like Eli. But that's not what I expect when God speaks. I expect thunder and lightning and a really powerful voice that's almost too much to listen to. And Samuel thought it sounded like an old man. And the old man that he knew. And this was clearly not an accident. God was speaking in a way that actually blended into the environment that he was in. And part of this is that God wanted Samuel to learn to listen to him. God wanted Samuel to learn to say, oh, now I'm understanding what it's like when God speaks. I find that fascinating. Again, I expect that when God would speak, it would all of a sudden be dark and there'd be lightning and everything else would stop because it would be so powerful. And yet that's not what Samuel experienced. God wanted Samuel to learn to listen. And I'm fascinated that Eli had to teach Samuel something that even Eli didn't know very well. It took Eli multiple times to say, oh, I bet I know what is going on. Eli wasn't very good at listening to God. And yet, God brought Samuel to Eli to say, Eli, can you teach this boy just a small step that you don't know very well? And then Samuel led the way. And I'm fascinated that Samuel had to have great courage to speak a message of judgment against Eli. This doesn't fit the culture. It's not appropriate. This young boy speaking to an old man, speaking to the priest who is over the temple, speaking to a man who is probably much like his grandpa. And yet, he had to have the courage to get up and deliver a message of judgment against this man. My guess is that, and you may have seen in the drawing, that when God was speaking with Samuel, Eli's in bed with his eyes wide open. They were both wondering what is coming. Neither could sleep after recognizing this could be the voice of God. And Eli said, I want to hear all of it. And it took great courage for Samuel to speak. It's a fantastic passage that I think is it's beautiful in its simplicity and the interest of the story. The first thing that this passage says is God speaks. God has not just created a world and sent it off on its own. He speaks. He still speaks today. And God speaks to his people and he speaks through his people. He was speaking to Samuel. And then we see he was speaking through Samuel to his people. He spoke through the prophets, and he spoke to the prophets. And even today, God speaks to his people, and he speaks through his people. And he speaks to and through people who will listen. Samuel had to learn to listen. It seems Eli didn't know much about that. But God speaks to people who will listen. And who will take to heart his word. Samuel certainly had heard of the prophecy before about judgment in his family, that this was given in just the previous chapter. But it seems that he didn't really take it very seriously. And so God was done speaking to Eli, it seems. So then he spoke to someone who would take his word to heart. And what I mean by that is that God speaks to those who will adjust their attitudes, their words, and their actions based on the reliability of God's word. Saying, if God says that this is true, I need to adjust how I live, how I think, even being changed in my emotions because of what God has said. God speaks to his people and through his people who will listen and take to heart his word. And Jesus gives this great metaphor in the New Testament of being a shepherd and of the setting where sheep are gathered together in a protective area, and it seems sheep from multiple shepherds are all gathered together. There's a gatekeeper who lets people come in and out and then lets the sheep in and out. And Jesus says this: the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, who is Jesus, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. A fascinating description Jesus gave to say, my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow a stranger. It's a beautiful picture of the relationship that he wants us to have with him. And we see Samuel learning the voice of God. That God speaks and he wants us to know his voice. And he calls us by name and we will follow him. But they, like sheep that won't follow a stranger, we're not to follow a different voice, but to follow his. A common phrase Jesus used is, whoever has ears, let them hear. And he would speak and say, I'm speaking, are you listening? And it was a call to people to listen. That God continues to speak to his people and through his people who will listen and take to heart his word. It's what Samuel did. And it's what Samuel was to be a model for those who were older, through those who were more educated, for those who had more power. And yet Samuel was the model for what it was to listen and take to heart his word. So the application is very simple in two parts. The first is to listen to God. And it's a common question of what does it mean to hear God? And it is true that God speaks in many ways. He speaks in the Bible. He speaks in songs like we've sung. He speaks in books and speakers and other people, whether young and old. God speaks in an impression that we have when we think about things, a conviction that builds in us, and we say, this is a path I should take, or this is wrong, needs to be addressed. God can speak through a thought that comes to mind. He can speak through dreams and visions, so many different ways that God can speak. Yet it's important to see that the clearest and the final authority is the Bible. Yet even then, it's not simple. It takes learning to listen, learning to understand. A key thing for many more educated people, and I have had the opportunity to get a bit of education, a challenge that I have is that I can begin to read the Bible like a textbook. The Bible is communication from God rather than a textbook or a rule book. So we need to learn to listen personally. When we read, to say, how am I hearing the voice of God in this? What is it that in some expression, burns in my heart as I read this? When we listen, we need to listen with discernment, because we hear better with practice and we hear better together. Obviously, people have done all sorts of terrible things in reading the Bible in a way that doesn't match what God intended. As was mentioned earlier, sometimes we hear what we want to hear. We hear the things that reinforce what we want to be true. What we need to do is to practice hearing, to hear better, and to do it together. One of the great things in our church is to hear with different kinds of ears, to hear through people who can sense different things than I can, open my eyes to new things. And we need to do this with discernment to say, what is it that God is saying? Just because somebody has a dream doesn't mean their understanding of that is what God intends. Or just because somebody says, I have a conviction, we don't know. We need together to say, how does this fit with the Bible? How are we hearing God in this? And we do this practice together. So there are many different ways that we are able to hear from God. But a key thing is, we need to come to genuinely listen. That God speaks to each of his children, and we should expect him to speak to us. Right? We have to have a heart that wants to hear. As a teacher in courses, I've certainly had times when I have a student raise their hand and they make a statement with a question mark on the end. They're not asking something, they're making a statement. They want to say something, not hear something. And there's a place for that. Yet when we come to God, we need to have a heart that wants to hear. It says, God, I want to hear your perspective. I don't want to just hear you say what you're thinking is good and your path is good. We need to come to God to say we want to hear. We want to genuinely listen for God in all parts of our lives. Right? Not just on a Sunday morning or in a prayer time, although there's wonderful times to listen. Say, God, what are you doing in the rest of life? How can I hear you in walking through the journey? And a key thing is we need to be eager to be corrected by God. And often that correction comes through others. And it seems that earlier in his life, Eli was not very good at this. That he didn't want to be corrected by God. So the prophet spoke and Eli didn't change. We want to come to God and be eager to be corrected. So we need to come to genuinely listen. And then we need to quiet other things. We, just as happens when we talk to each other in a loud room, or if we have headphones on, or there's things distracting us, we don't hear very well. We need to quiet other things. And this is one of the reasons in our service we always have the time to confess and repent, to turn from things. Because things that are contrary to God, when they just sit in our lives, they make it so we don't hear him. We need to quiet those things, to confess ways that are not like his ways, to turn from them and to ask for his change in us. When we do that, we prepare ourselves to hear. We need to remove distractions. You might have the same type of thing. Sometimes I read the Bible on a daily basis on my computer. And I'll get an email and it alerts me, oh, there's a new email. And I so quickly can be distracted. And I have to turn those things off if I'm going to really, genuinely seek to listen to God. We need to set the other distractions aside. And it takes time to be quiet. Right? This is not something we rush through and say, and this is a temptation for me to get up on a Monday morning, for instance, and say, wow, I've got a bunch of stuff to get done. So I probably should pray, but I'm going to do it pretty quick because today's a pretty busy day. Right? And that's not coming with a genuine heart to hear. We need to quiet other things. things. And then we need to meditate, to memorize, to pray, different ways to say, how do I really hear God in His Word? I just wanted to alert you. There's a Bible memory tool on a website that I worked on a long time ago. But it's a tool to help practice things to memorize, to say, I want these ideas to be a part of my life. And we'll include a link to this, because you're free to use it, a link to put in the life group guide. If you're interested, just let me know. But we need to quiet and to give our attention, to quiet other things and give our attention to God and His Word. And it's so significant to do these things together. So a number of years ago, actually when I was in college, so that was many years ago, I spent a summer in Japan. And it was with the organization Crew, and we met with English language groups to practice English. And for us to learn, I learned a little bit of Japanese, a little bit about the culture and the experiences there. But I want to tell you about one experience I had. I can still remember sitting and talking with a couple of Japanese students and explaining to them what it meant to have a relationship with God. And I explained that we can actually hear from God. We can listen to His voice. And in part, it happens when we read the Bible. And you know, God impresses on us an understanding of Him and His ways. And the student said, that's very interesting. And then he said, so what did He say this morning? Oh, I felt pretty embarrassed because I couldn't remember. It's like, really? The God of the universe spoke with you today? And you can't remember it a couple of hours later? Right? And so when we go back to the story, we're told Eli could barely see. I'm fascinated. Whether or not Eli could see had nothing to do with the story. Right? He didn't need to walk around. There wasn't some reason why he couldn't physically see things. Clearly, this was meant in addition to being a physical state. This talked about his spirit. And he could hardly see anymore. And so I make this claim is that most of the things that we quote-unquote forget, we never really knew. Right? I say, well, I forgot what I read this morning. No, I don't think I forgot it. I think I never knew it. It just passed by my mind enough for me to be aware of it, but I never really knew it. And that to me is a deep conviction about what it is to listen to God. And so the question is, when God speaks, are we really listening? So that's the first application, is to listen, to say with Samuel, speak, Lord, for I am listening. And then the second application is to take God's word to heart, and in two parts, to obey it and to speak it. So the first thing is, if we ignore what we already know or have heard, right? If we ignore what we already have, we shouldn't expect to hear more. If we ignore what we already have, even what we have heard already may be taken away. Jesus taught that. He says, you better take seriously what you have, because if you don't, that itself might be gone. So we shouldn't expect God to keep speaking to us if we've ignored Him when He's spoken to us in the past. Jesus told the great story, the parable of the four soils, and He talked about seed. And one of the things is that seed that was left sitting on the path, that gets eaten. The birds come and take it away, and it never has a chance to grow. One of the key ways to take the seed, the word of God, from the path into our hearts is to obey it. It's to do what it says. He went on to say that for seeds to be effective, they need to hear, they need to accept what they hear, and then they need to produce a crop. That is to obey. That we need to listen, to take seriously what God says, or we shouldn't expect to hear more. And so we should obey, and then we should speak. And as we look at the end of Acts, we should proclaim the kingdom of God and Jesus. This is the key message that Paul kept saying. I want to tell you about the kingdom of God, the work that God is doing. I want to show you that. And I want to tell you about the root of that, the source of that, is Jesus. A key thing about speaking is that God uses and can speak through any of His people. And this is a core value for us as a church that we talk about as priesthood of all believers. That we believe that God speaks through women and men. Right? We believe that he uses both women and men to shape who we are, to speak his word to us. God uses those who are younger as well as those who are older. God uses those who are poorer as well as those who are richer. God uses those who are sicker as well as those who are healthier. God uses the citizen of any country. God uses new Christians as well as long-time Christians. We believe that God can speak through any of his people. And so a key thing in that is, will we use that voice? Right? God can use you and me as his voice to others, and that's amazing. That's an astounding idea. Samuel had to have courage to say what God had spoken to him. God could have talked directly to Eli, but he wanted Samuel to do it as a young man, as a young boy, to speak to this older man. And so, to complete the title, when the adults weren't listening, God called a child to speak. And when God calls us to speak, we need to have the courage. And as a church, we say we expect God to be speaking through all of his children, of whatever age, all the different categories, we expect God to speak. Because God speaks to his people and through his people who will listen and take to heart his word. So, I ask the question, has God spoken to you and to me today? Right? Have you heard his voice? A sense that it wasn't just us sitting together or over the internet and words in English going by. There's something deeper of God's presence with us. And when God speaks tomorrow, will we be genuinely listening? Will we be ready to say we want to hear? We want to be corrected. We want to be encouraged. We want to find your power. And the question of what will it look like for each of us to take his word to heart, to say, okay, this is what is true. I want to adjust my life according to that. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. That's true for us. Jesus said, I call my sheep by name and lead them. And I love that. He says this communication, in part, is to communicate his love. He says, you are my sheep. I call you by name, as individuals, as a people together, and I lead you. He says, my sheep know my voice. And he says, my sheep will never follow a stranger, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. As Jesus said, wherever his ears, let them hear. And so, as we have come today, we say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening and ready to obey. I want to provide a little bit of silence just for you to continue to listen. And if God has spoken, take the words to heart. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for speaking. We thank you that a text written thousands of years ago is a tool even today for you to speak. So we ask, continue to speak. Help us to hear, to listen, and to take to heart your words. Father, please keep speaking. I want to say, if you're aware of a way that God has spoken today to you, I encourage you to take that to heart. Thank him for that. Perhaps write it down, draw a picture of it, talk to somebody about it. Take it to heart. Share it with somebody else. Father, we thank you that you are God who communicates. Jesus, we thank you that you call us by name. You know us. and you want us to know you. And you do this in part through this communication that, that you say we're to have with you. We thank you for that gift. We thank you that this is a gift that is for children as well as for those who are older. We thank you that each one of us can hear. I pray that you would speak, that we would genuinely listen, to take to heart, to obey, and share what you speak to us. We thank you for this gift. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.